Amen. Exodus chapter 14, verse number 27. If you'd like to turn there this morning in the Word of God, praise God. Exodus 14th chapter, 27th verse. Again, thank you for the opportunity to come. Appreciate the opportunity to minister. Amen. And trust the Lord will just touch your hearts today with the Word. Amen. Exodus 14, 27. If you're there, say amen. If you're there, if you're not there yet, say hang on. Hold on. Praise God. We'll read down through the 15th chapter in the first verse. Exodus 14, 27, and Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Chapter 15 there in verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Drop down to verse number 20. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Amen. Again, it says, all the women went with her. They went out after her with timbrels and with dances. I heard a tambourine being played. Who played that? Somebody here in the middle? Can I borrow your tambourine for just a little while? Amen. Courtney, would you get that for me? Amen. I had one. I bought it at a dollar store, and it's over at the motorhome. I forgot to bring it with me this morning. So if you don't care, and I'll take good care of it, I promise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, that's a nice one, too. All right, we'll just keep that right here for now. I just have a feeling might need that here in just a spell. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning on when dancing becomes extinct. When dancing becomes extinct. Now, when I think of the word extinction, I think of animals being extinct. You know, the spotted owl and all these things. My sister, when I was 15 and she was 16, we were driving up this way, I think around Smith Falls, coming towards Sydenham area, and she hit a great horned-rimmed owl. And the guy she was dating at the time, he was wanting to, and a beautiful bird. The wingspan was longer than our arms. Beautiful bird. And the guy that was with us, my sister was dating him, my mom was with us too, and he wanted to bag that bird and take it back and get it stuffed. It probably would have been worth quite a bit of money. Mom wouldn't let a dead animal in her car. I mean, she wouldn't hear of it. So we had to leave the bird by the side of the road, but we aided to its extinction, praise God. Well, when I read this little article about extinction of animals sometime this past year, there were four top reasons why animals might become extinct. And you're probably wondering, what in the world does this have to do with dancing, praise God? What does this have to do with anything? Well, you just buckle your seatbelts, hang on, and we'll get somewhere, all right? Amen. Well, the top four reasons for animals or species of animals that might become extinct are this: starvation. Starvation's the number one reason. Somewhere in the food chain, an animal dies or fades out, and other animals are affected by that. Amen. The second is hunting. And I'm not a hunter myself. I love to fish, but my hunting experiences have been very dastardly, to say the least, so we'll just leave hunting to the hunters. But that's the second reason. The third is habitat. It's ruined by mankind, and animals have no place to live. And then the fourth is the change in environment. And I want you to kind of remember those things. There's no quiz at the end, but we will come back and touch upon that here later in the message. I want you to notice as we get into the message this morning, there is a difference between worldly dancing and biblical dancing. Amen. There is a difference between worldly dancing and the dancing that we find in the Word of God. Worldly dancing is practiced by men and women together and typically is associated with sin and immorality throughout the Word of God and throughout the history of the church, I might add. Even far back in church history, they spoke out. They preached against worldly dancing. Back in the days of 1632, there was a man by the name of William Prynne. He was a Puritan who graduated from Oxford University. And William, he wrote a great catalog of early church councils who spoke out against this worldly dancing. There was a number of them, but let me just give you three of them right quick. In 364 A.D., the Concilium Laodicean, which was attended by most of the bishops in Asia, declared, quote, "Christians going to weddings ought neither wantonly to sing nor yet to dance, but to sup or dine soberly as become Christians," close quote. In 408 A.D., the Concilium Africanum, whose auspicious attendees included St. Augustine, warned against wicked dances on the Christian feast days, citing the fact that the modesty of innumerable women devoutly coming to the most holy day is assaulted with lascivious injuries. Another council, which convened at Carthage in 419 AD, enjoined presbyters, deacons, and subdeacons to avoid marriage feasts where, quote, "amorous and filthy things are sung, or where obscene motions of the body are expressed in rounds or dances." I said all that to say this, even our early church fathers did not condone worldly dancing. And I'm finding in our church age that we have this philosophy that it's just another social outlet. It's just a way to socialize with people. But if our forefathers did not condone it, why should we today? Oh, Brother Dave, this is the year 2011. You know, you're living back in the dinosaur age. You're back in the old fogey age. Amen. Well, I find that God's word changes not. Can you say amen? It is the same, and God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. However, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. That's just a little freebie there. But the only thing that's changed in dancing from the olden days to the days today is that it has become 1,000 times more lewd and 1,000 times more vulgar than what it's ever been in the history of mankind. There is a difference between worldly dancing and between the dance that is found in the Word of God. Psalms 149, and I'll just give you three verses here. Psalms 149, verse 3, "Let them praise His name in the dance." Amen. "Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbrel and the harp." Amen. We could use the piano for that. Psalms 150, verse 4, "Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs." Ecclesiastes 3, 4, "There's a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance." Amen. One more verse in the New Testament. We'll come back to this a little later too. Luke chapter 15, verse 25. "Now this elder son was in the field, and as he came, he drew nigh to the house, and he heard music and dancing." This was the prodigal's brother. He came nigh to the house, and he heard music and dancing. Amen. We read here in our text, this passage of Scripture is the tail end of the deliverance of the Israelites from Egyptian bondage. Praise God that God saw fit to raise up a leader to bring them out of that horrible bondage that they were in. It's bad enough to be slaves, but Pharaoh made a decree that all the baby boys be killed under the age of two that were Hebrews. Amen. So it was during this time that Moses was born, and we know the story. Moses' mother tried to hide baby Moses best she could at home. Finally, she put him in a bulrush, into an ark, hid him in the bulrushes, and had his sister Miriam to watch out for him. Now, I'm going to use my imagination a little bit here for the rest of this story, but I can just see Miriam one day as she's watching from a distance her baby brother floating along the Nile River there hidden in the bulrushes. And, of course, Pharaoh's daughter comes down, finds the child, and has compassion on that child. I can imagine the fear that went through Miriam as she discovers that her baby brother probably is now going to be killed and slaughtered along with all the other Hebrew boys under the age of two. She goes to Pharaoh's daughter and and I guess maybe pleads with her, but Pharaoh's daughter has a turn of heart, and compassion comes upon her. And instead of slaying this child or having him slain, she decides she's going to keep him. And Miriam says, well, I can get you a Hebrew mother to help out in the process. Oh, that's a great idea. And I'm kind of using my imagination here. But I can just see Miriam running home at top speed, heading into the camp. Mama, mama, mama. And Miriam's mother comes out. What is it, child? What's wrong? Sensing an alarm and an urgency. And Miriam says to her mom, Moses has been found out. Pharaoh's daughter's found him. And I can almost see that heart of a mother stop dead as she comes to realization that which she has feared has come to pass. But Miriam says, Mama, it's not that bad. Listen to the good news. She wants a Hebrew mama to take care of little Moses. And I came to get you. And we know the rest of the story, how Moses was raised in Pharaoh's courts. Amen. But I wonder if Miriam's mama didn't grab her child by the arm and yank her into the tent, close the flaps and say, Miriam, we're going to thank God. It wouldn't have surprised me if Miriam's mama, Moses' mama, amen, had broke out into an audible time of praise and worship and dance right there in her little tent. You know what she was doing by that? And again, this is just supposition. I'm not preaching doctrine to you right now. Amen. This is just my imagination. But I'm making an assumption, because later in Scripture we find out in verse 20 of the chapter 15, Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. Amen. Miriam saw this dance happen somewhere. I'm just wondering if it didn't start back in the tent when she got old enough to see the times God moved upon her mama. Amen. Times when she worshiped God, times when she praised. Did you know that it's not just church that we come to worship and praise God? Amen. I'm sure you know that there's times when you're in your closet of prayer, times when you're at home, times when God just comes down in such a real and a special way. Amen. You can't help it, but amen, just throw your head back and say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. How many of you have ever been spared of a car wreck? Amen. Something almost tragic took place. Amen. And you, after you got your nerves back in focus and your blood pressure got back in place and your pulse stopped racing, amen, you reared your head back and said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. How many of you had God to come through for you in a situation that you thought was impossible? Amen. And I like those that were healed of leprosy, they returned to give thanks unto God. You don't have to wait till Sunday morning or Sunday night or a church night to worship and praise God. I believe you can praise Him in a tent, praise God. I believe you can have a dance at home. I believe you can have joy in your heart. And that dance, amen, speaks to us of the joy and the thanksgiving that we have towards our God. I tell you what, if God had done nothing more for me than saved me, that'd be enough for me to say, thank you, Jesus. That'd be enough for me to give Him praise and glory. Amen. But He adds all these other blessings to us. Amen. The blessings of God are rich. Amen. They are so rich, and there's plenty of them for us. Now, I'm not a name it and claim it, blab it and grab it preacher. Amen. Otherwise, I'd have a Land Rover out there, I guess, or some sort of a Lamborghini. Amen. Might have to have a crane to get out of the thing, but if I really believe that name it and claim it stuff, I'd have a lot of things, but that's not scriptural. But I'll tell you what, God does have blessings for His children. He is our Heavenly Father. Amen. He's going to bestow good and perfect gifts upon us. They come from up in heaven. They come from on high. Amen. And I can just see Miriam's mama, amen, thanking God that she spared, or he spared rather, her son Moses. Praise God. Because God had a plan. But I believe, amen, Miriam had that instance and that upbringing of seeing her mama get blessed and her mama worship and praise God. I believe Miriam, amen, got that. She inherited that, if you will. Have you ever had your kids play church? Huh? Hey, come on here. Have you ever had your kids come home and imitate the people at church when they were little? Yeah. We used to do that.
My wife's family did that. They'd imitate people, you know. Somebody would want to be the pastor, and they'd get a little trunk and have that for their pulpit. And I have a video of Courtney and her cousin Danae at a very young age, I think around 4 or 5. And they got in a fight, just like some people get at fights at church. Don't everybody shout at once. I ain't done preaching yet. Amen. They'd get into fights over who's going to be the song leader, huh? They were imitating what they saw at church. Amen. Be careful, amen, of what you do, amen, and what you don't do, because there's a lot of little eyes around here a-watching you. Or someone say amen or oh my. Yes. Amen. You come into church looking like a grump, guess what? You're going to be imitated like. Who are you?
I'm Brother Hoopensnauzer.
Never smile. When it's time to raise our hands, you can't even get them half-mast. Amen. That means somebody died. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Amen. We need to have the joy of the Lord. Amen. It is our strength. When we come into the house of God, watch out, because there's a lot of little eyes a-watching you. And if you sit there like a bump on a pickle and feel like death warmed over and look like it too, guess what? Our kids are going to imitate you. But if you'll come in with the joy of God, a spring in your step, a song on your lips, praise in your heart, worship the God, amen, won't surprise me that our little ones will go home and imitate you. Amen. There's Brother Frimple, we'll call him. Amen. Boy, he's just having a time worshiping God. Amen. I believe that's how it ought to be in the house of God, don't you? Amen. I've said it at camp. I'll say it here. This isn't a cemetery. It's not a mortuary. This isn't a funeral home. Praise God. Nobody's died here, I hope. Amen. If not, we'll try to resuscitate you. But this is a house of God. This is a place of worship. This is a place of praise. Amen. It's a place where we can have a dance. Praise God. And I'm preaching to you this morning on our dancing, the danger of it becoming extinct. Don't let your dancing die. Amen. No wonder they were singing. No wonder they were dancing. Amen. Oh, yes. By dancing in the midst of the trial, you are teaching your children that you're trusting God. Yes, sir. By dancing, by worshiping, by praising in the midst of the trial, you are showing your children, amen, that the devil's not going to get the upper hand. You're showing your children that you are trusting him for the answer to come. Keep on dancing, amen. Mama, your husband may get sick. The washing machine may break down, amen. The children may get the croup, amen. Your second automobile may give up the ghost, but keep on praising God, amen. We should not allow those things that are around us to dictate, amen, how we respond, amen, in our Christian experience. Too many times we respond in such a negative way to bad news and bad things that come along. But we'll teach our children, amen, that even in the midst of a trial, we can still keep our dance. Somebody say amen. Praise God. When you stop dancing, amen, there's going to be danger come. Now, I don't know what took place in Miriam's life. I don't know what happened after this great deliverance, but something transpired. It says, and we jump over to Numbers chapter 11, we find God still moving in their midst. He's still providing. He's sending them quail now because they've complained about the manna. He's sending them quail, and they're hoarding it, they're lusting after it, and God's mad about it. Amen. But when you stop dancing, you will start complaining. I said, when you stop dancing, you will start complaining. And when you start complaining, you will start criticizing. Numbers 12 and 1, Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not also spoken by us? And the Lord heard it. Don't think for a moment that God doesn't know when you stop dancing. Amen. He hears your complaining. He hears your griping. He hears your criticizing. And it wasn't just Miriam. She found somebody to side with her. My wife and I pastored for 14 years and evangelized for 7. Amen. Full-time and now part-time. And it never ceased to amaze me when we found that seed of discontent coming in the house of God through the form of a member. It didn't take very long for birds of the feather to flock together. Amen. Well, that all rhymed. Remember? Together. Yeah. And it didn't take very long to find them magnets coming together and becoming maggots. Oh, help us, Lord. Amen. Understand this. It doesn't take very long for that seed that is sown to attract somebody else. Oh, poor, pitiful me. You don't realize what the pastor did to me this week. He didn't even shake my hand. And I mean, just frivolous stuff, stupid stuff, stuff that doesn't even make any sense. Churches have split over little frivolous little things that ought not ever to have happened. I'll tell you what, when we saw that, amen, we did it. We went to God in prayer, and brother, we nipped it in the bud the best we could, as quick as we could, because we knew it was a cancer that would eat away at the body of Christ. And that's what happened. I don't know what transpired in Miriam's heart, but somewhere along the way, she laid down the timbrel and she took up the tongue. Yes, sir. She laid down the timbrel and her tongue started flapping. One lady went to a pastor and said, I can't help it. I'm a gossip and I know it. And I'm trying to get my tongue under control. And the pastor said, sister, your tongue's so long you could sit in the living room and put it on the kitchen table. Amen. But let's get it on the altar, and it may not hold it all, but we'll try. Oh, yes. Somewhere in Miriam's life, something transpired. Something took place to where she laid the timbrel down and she started complaining, criticizing, and found somebody, amen, to join in with her. Somebody to spill her guts out to. And as a result, she rebelled against the authority that God had set up for the children of Israel. Amen. Questioning it, judging, amen, whether it's even of God or not. I'm preaching to you when dancing becomes extinct. When you stop dancing, danger lurks in ever so near. Let me give you four things right quick, and then we'll be done, and we'll beat all the other churches to the restaurant if that's what we're fixing to do. Amen. Number one, when you stop dancing, you begin a downward spiral. Yes, sir? You begin a downward spiral. You lose your momentum. You lose your desire to pray. You lose your desire to live godliness. You lose your desire to walk in holiness. You lose your desire to evangelize. You lose your desire and your burden for the lost. You become so consumed with your own little pity party that you lose everything that is sensible about you in the work of God. You begin to downward spiral. Amen. When you stop dancing, number two, you become deceived. You become deceived. The devil's been in your ear. Yea, hath God said. You remember back in the garden, Eve, yea, hath God said you're going to die. And throughout the ages, throughout the centuries, the devil has been there whispering in the saints of God's ears, yea, hath God said. The pastor gets up and preaches out of the Word of God, and you sit there with your arms folded and say, I don't believe that, and that's not for me. Praise God, bless God. Amen. Hath God said? I'll tell you what, if it's in the Word of God, we better just do it, don't you think? Oh, yeah, somebody say amen. We better live up to what God's Word said. This isn't Reader's Digest here. This is God's Word. Amen. It's not a horoscope. It's God's plan for our lives. And if the pastor gets up and preaches what God's laid on his heart and it's in the Word of God, amen, there shouldn't be any ifs, ands, or buts about it. Let's just do it. Praise the Lord. Amen. You might give him cardiac arrest, but let's do it. Praise God. Line up to what God has for us. And so you'll live a life of deception. And pretty soon, you'll become hypocritical. Pretty soon, your life will be a life of deception. And you think you're getting away with it. But God sees all. Amen. Oh, yes, He sees everything. And when you stop dancing, not only do you start a downward spiral, not only do you live a life of deception, but thirdly, amen, you desecrate the things of God. You're sinning and still think you can have the blessing of God. You still shout, you still dance, you still come to church, still raise your hand, still, if you will, shake a tambourine, play a piano, pluck a bass, hit the snare, amen, play a saxophone, preach a message, work on a Sunday school bus route, go door to door, amen, give in the offering, give our tithes. But if you have sin in your life, you are desecrating the things of God. Amen. You may sing, I surrender all, I surrender. And if you're like Ananias and Sapphira and you've kept back a part, amen, that does not belong to you in the first place, You are desecrating the things of God. Oh, we need to be careful, amen, that we don't become deceived into that walk and knowing, amen, when that deception occurs, we do everything like we used to, like Samson of old. He shook himself and wist not that the Lord had departed from him. Brother, sister, I want to encourage you today. We need to keep on dancing, praise God. Amen, we need to keep on. How quickly we forget the things of God. Amen, Moses was up on the mount. Amen, and receiving the Ten Commandments. And the people begin to lose their patience, their confidence in their leader. And Exodus chapter 32, verse 19, it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. And did you hear that? He saw the calf and the dancing. They were still dancing. And Moses' anger was kindled. It was waxed hot. And he cast the tables out of his hands and he brake them beneath the mount. Here were God's people. They just shouted. They just danced on the other side of the Red Sea. Just had victory. Just had a touch of God. God did great things for them. Amen. No more in bondage. They're free now. Praise God. They're free. And they forgot what God had done for them. And now they're worshiping a molten calf. Now they've taken their earrings and their bracelets. They've melted them down. They're worshiping an idol. They are in direct violation of what God had commanded them not to do. Amen. They are now desecrating the things of God. Their holy dancing has turned to desecrated dancing. Their holy fervor has turned to sensual desire. Amen. They had stopped dancing unto God and God was angered. They're danger. There's a danger when you stop dancing unto the Lord. You know what God's judgment was that day? 3,000 were killed. The judgment of God is swift. You say, Brother Dave, we're in the dispensation of grace. That would never happen. Well, Ananias and Sapphira day was the dispensation of grace, and God did take two people out on that day. And I'm not convinced in my pastoral experiences where people have stood up against the authority of the church, amen, that God has not removed them as well. I've seen two examples of that happening. Amen. Don't think that God cannot, in this day and hour, bring judgment upon us. Amen. It's going to begin first in the house of God. Oh, I'd be careful not to lose my dance. Amen. You can't desecrate godly things and expect to get away with it. And Miriam didn't. The Bible tells us in Numbers 12 and 9, the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. God's presence left them. Amen. Behold, Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Oh, yes. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Here's my fourth point, and I'm almost finished. Come to the piano, honey. When you're done, amen, when you stop dancing, amen, you become diseased. Not only do you have a downward spiral, not only do you live a life of deception, not only do you desecrate the things of God, but you will become diseased. Amen. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know what the sad commentary of the Israelites were back in the Old Testament? It's found in the book of Lamentations. Amen. Chapter 5, verse 15. The Bible says, the joy of our heart is ceased. Isn't that sad? The joy of our heart is ceased. Listen to this. Our dance is turned into mourning. My, my, my. I read to you earlier Luke chapter 15, verse 25. We're coming back to that. His elder son was in the field, and as he came, he drew nigh to the house. He heard music and what? Dancing. Yeah. The prodigal's brother came back, and he heard music and dancing. Why did he hear that? Because the father was delighted that his son had returned. The father was just gloriously happy and excited and wanted to throw a feast, and he did. And they had music and dancing. It was a time of celebration. It was a time of joy. It was a time of expressing to God the gratitude of their hearts. And the elder brother heard it from the outside of the home and did not come in to participate with his younger brother and father and mother. He lost out a great blessing because he refused to dance. When dancing becomes extinct, oh, yeah, back to the extinction. I began this message by giving you the top four reasons animals might become extinct. Number one, what was it? Starvation. Huh? Now, we're pretty good at eating physically, aren't we? Since we've come up to Canada, and I've had at least two opportunities to eat poutine, which we do not have in the States, it's a great artery clogger, I'll tell you. But I have expanded this full gospel ministry. Amen. I mean, I've put on some pounds. I told my wife, I said, we got to get out and start walking this week. I mean, this is ridiculous. I put on this suit this morning. I'm like, yeah, it's just a little on the tight side. And starvation. We do good physically. But I wonder if we had God's MRI to look at us spiritually, what kind of condition we'd be in. I'm wondering if we wouldn't find some of our churches, some of our saints of God, in such spiritual malnourishment that it would make a fifth world country look good. I'll do what my pastor does when he wants to really make a point. He looks over his glasses. Mom used to do that. David Roy. Yeah. Sunday to Sunday. We never open our Bibles at home. We never pray. We never talk to God. We never have a time of communication with Him. Oh, don't tell me it don't happen. Don't tell me that doesn't happen in churches today. With all the technology we have the opportunity to have our devotions online. I've got Bibles online. I've got study books online. I've got all these things online. I can, at any given moment, I can pull up a commentary and see what somebody has to say. But what about our communication with God? Starvation. When our dancing becomes extinct. The second one was what? We get him in our scope. You know who the great adversary is? He comes, he runs to and fro as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. Lucifer, Slewfoot, the devil. Ah, oh, he's just a figment of man's imagination. Really? Well, if he is, it's a pretty good imagination that's pretty much reality. Amen. But he is a very real individual. God created Lucifer. He is a fallen angel. Amen. There's a place prepared for him. There's no hope for the devil. He is going to be doomed to hell, fire, and brimstone. He's going to be doomed to a lake of fire. He's going to be cast there. There is no hope of him ever getting saved. He's very real. And the second reason, amen, that animals become extinct, or if you will, the human Christian race becomes extinct, is we have allowed the devil to come in and wreak havoc in our lives. Oh, yeah. What was the third one? Habitat. Our homes are war fields. Our homes are places where fighting goes on. I'm talking about our homes where we live, 1349 Garrett Street, West Plains, Missouri, 65775. Our homes where we live, reside, where we sleep, eat, amen, where we get up, where we spend a majority of our time. Our homes have become war homes. Our children are being raised in fighting and bickering. And I heard lately on Facebook, just I guess yesterday, one of our families in our church, Ricky Van Allman, he bought his wife an iron skillet for whatever. Somebody said, he's a brave man. Who would ever buy their wife an iron skillet? I mean, that's just plumb crazy. You know, get plastic at least, you know, something that won't burn, but it won't hurt as bad when it's thrown. But yeah, our homes, they become places that our children are raised in. They're fearful and they hear mom and dad bickering and fighting and throwing things all the time. Our homes should never be that. If anything, our home should be a place of refuge. Oh, this is a whole other message. Amen. Might last till next Sunday if I hold it out longer. But our homes, all of these things, amen, can be detrimental to us. What was the last one? Number four is the... Say it again. Thank you. Saves me going back to look at my notes. Yeah, the change of environment. I read this not too long ago. I don't know how true it is. You know, you read a lot of stuff. But the mockingbird. Anybody know what a mockingbird is? Mocks you. You know, basically mocks what they hear. This article said the mockingbird is becoming extinct because there's so many other sounds now around it that it's trying to mock that it does not have the opportunity to even mate anymore. And so it's becoming extinct. You know what I find is dreadfully scary is that the church has become a mockingbird. And we are taking on the things of the world. And we are allowing the world to dictate to us, the church, God's institution to mankind. the church that should be separate, the church that should be called out, the church that should be spotless, without wrinkles, without spots, and all those things. The church of all people should be that perfect and whole and unblemished. Oh, I know we make up the church and we've all got issues and problems, but I'm talking about the church as a whole. Amen. That glorious bride that Jesus is coming back for. Amen. But still, we've become more worldly, and the world has become more churchy. And there is little or no distinction anymore. That's scary. You know why that's happened? We've let our dancing die. Oh, my. Years ago, we used to be known. You ever hear the expression, oh, they're just a bunch of holy rollers? Anybody ever? You know what holy rolling was? Is when God moved on a person and the Spirit just came and moved through them, and they found themselves in an ecstasy, if you will, a place where they just rolled and shouted and jumped and danced. And David, when he brought the Ark of God back to Jerusalem, amen, it says he danced before the Lord with all his might. It was an expression of that which was on the inside. Oh, I long to see that. Amen. In this last day and hour. Amen. I know there's times in our churches we do too. We've got a format. We've got a plan. We've got everything laid out and what we're going to do. But I love the times when the Spirit of God comes by and just interrupts the service. I had a lady leading song service in our Kansas City church. And brother, she started off singing on a Sunday night. Now, I like Sunday nights a little more livelier than I do Sunday morning. You know, Sunday morning, get a lot of visitors in. We preach to the lost sometimes. But Sunday night, I mean, it's like get up and go time. Come on, let's have church. You know what I'm saying? And this lady gets up and sings the Old Rugged Cross on Sunday night. I'll be honest with you, I got a little perturbed. I mean, it just plumb almost burnt my biscuits. And I'm thinking, what in the world? She knows I like it lively on Sunday night. You know, come on. It's not like we're trying to pump the well and get something moving and man-initiated. Amen. But we just like to create an environment where the Spirit of God can come by and move and minister to us, and the gifts can be stirred up within us. And she sings the Old Rugged Cross. On a hill far away. I'm thinking, oh, great God of heaven, how are we ever going to get out of this mess? Now, I love the Old Rugged Cross. Don't get me wrong. It's a great song. But let's sing it Sunday morning. And so, pretty soon, about the third verse, this lady gets up out of her seat, and she comes bawling and squalling down to the altar and gets saved. I hung my head in shame. And I said, Lord, I repent. I'm sorry. Our song leader had the feeling of the Spirit, the leading and the direction of the Spirit. And oh me here, pump prime cheerleader, woohoo, let's go, great God. You know, get the service high. Yeah, God did not have that in mind for that night. But that lady came and got gloriously saved because of the Old Rugged Cross. I'm talking about the conditions around us. We just let so many things affect us. So many things inflict us. So many things that we just don't even need to have in our life. They're baggage. Amen. What you ran this race well. What did hinder you? We get bagged down, tied down. We get ourselves wrapped up with all kinds of things. And pretty soon, we can't even let go. God wants us to step out, and we can't because we're bound. We're bound to that, whatever it is. Amen. That's going to kill the church if we allow it to. I'm preaching to you when your dancing becomes extinct. Now, I'm not expecting you to get up this morning, swing from the chandeliers, and run the pew backs. All I've seen that happen. Well, not the chandeliers part, but I have seen them run the pew backs. Amen. Under the anointing and Spirit of God. I've seen dancing. I've seen my Grandma Birch dance in the Spirit. Amen. I've seen her get excited. My sister and I always made fun of her hang-me-downs. You know, she'd get her hands up in a fluttering in the wind and her flab underneath her arms, you know. Get a flapping in the breeze, and my sister and us, woo, there goes her hang-me-downs again. And Grandma, she'd get so excited, and she'd say, woo! Huh? Yeah, it was a blessing to me as a little boy to see that. Oh, that God would visit us again with the dance. I mean, He's done so much for us. He's set us free. He's brought us out of darkness into His marvelous light. He's given us hope. He's given us peace. He's given us joy. Amen. Why can't we in turn be expressive unto Him in our music, in our dance? I wish to God, amen, that we just get a hold of our spiritual tambourines and say, I'm going to praise Him for what He's done. Yes, I'm going through the fire. Yes, I'm going through a dark circumstance. But I'm going to praise Him anyhow. Amen. Yes, my family's torn apart. Yes, my job is on the brink. Yes, my finances are in rubble. But I'm going to praise God anyhow. Amen. With the timbrel and the dance and the shout. Amen. Because He's been so good to us. I'm going to give Him the glory. I'm going to give Him the praise. Because God is great and greatly to be praised. I wish somebody just praise Him this morning. Why don't you lift your hand toward heaven and just audibly say, thank you, Jesus. God, you've been good to me. Lord, I love you. God, I praise you for what you've done. Yes, Lord, I'm going through a dark valley, but in the valley you restore my soul. Yes, God, I don't know how it's going to work out, but one of these days I'm going to walk out of this valley. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to give God the glory to move. I'm going to thank God for what He's done. I'm telling you, church, there's victory in Jesus. There's victory in praising the Lord. There's victory in the dance. There's victory in the shout. God wants to help us today. Oh, praise Him, praise Him. Give Him the glory. Give Him the honor. Give Him the glory this morning. He is worthy of it. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't let your dance die. Don't let it die. I wish somebody would just plug in to the Spirit of God today and say, Lord, revive within me. Revive within me that heart of joy and praise. Revive within me, God. Oh, yes, He can turn your mourning into dancing. He can take the spirit of heaviness. Amen. Put on the garments of praise. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, church, one more time. Let's praise Him. Everybody that will, let's give Him glory. Stand if you'd like to. Sit if you want to. Come to the altar if you like. But let's take some time and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the bright and morning star, the lily of the valley, the I am that I am. Oh, the great Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is all in all. Oh, great God Jehovah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God.
You are for